everyone, this is Justin from Australia. I fucked your fucking sister's face today. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking bitches.
Can't kill nothing. I clap, nothing won't die. Can't kill nothing, people. Clap, nothing won't die. Can't get ahead, no matter how much I try. Can't work 5 minutes late, and my boss said I was fine. Yeah, I came to work 5 minutes late, and my boss said I was fine. Made me so doggone mad, bawling tears fell from my eyes. Don't find me a job, I have to live in the street. If I don't find a job, I have to live in the street. Have to live like a beggar, beggar for everything I eat. Nothing won't die. Can't kill nothing, people. Nothing won't die. Can't get ahead, no matter how much I try.
The DJ New Style Show.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey. Safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark. We proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
And the homo is getting touchy.
Are you guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No. No, no.
Hey, Donna! Did you start the coffee yet?
Oh, snap! That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the DJ New Style Show. Your Tuesday night miracle on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. My co-host for tonight, several Germans. You guessed it. Rammstein! Ride that out, bitches! I don't like hearing myself when I'm so excited. I've said it, but I'll say it one more time. I do not like hearing myself get all worked up. But it is the DJ New Style Show. What better cause to get worked up? Seriously. Seriously. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. With me, as always, is your friend and mine, Germ Freak. Germ, how are you?
Hey,
put your collar up, put your thumbs up.
Hey-o!
Let's get it going. Why don't you knock on a fucking jukebox or two?
Mm-hmm.
Who starts anything with hey?
Did you see that? Have you seen that commercial, the million, the lottery commercial, and they have the voice of like the Jeopardy guy and Ed McMahon? Are you familiar with that commercial?
Should I take a nap?
Are you familiar with that
should
commercial?
I go take a nap right now, and you're going to go into
Are you familiar with that commercial?
Obviously not.
Okay.
I'm just asking you, should I get some shut-eye while you're trying to fucking explain this?
Poor Ed McMahon is on his last leg, for Christ's sake, and he's doing fucking lottery New York lottery commercials.
What else is he going to do? I mean, you go from co-host to pushing, like, elderly insurance to being the occasional, speaker when your host dies. And then you do public access commercials or like lotto commercials. That's where it goes, Frank. Unfortunately, you're not famous enough, so you'll get none of that action. Those Lotto commercials are beyond your spectrum right now.
That is true.
God, it's so nice to be back on another Tuesday night. So what's going on with you, Frankie boy? What's going on?
You know what? I'm noticing and things are bothering me now. And
what do you mean? What are you talking about? Is there something that you're trying to say?
There's something. Well, yeah.
Okay.
There's some stuff we could do without.
Ladies and gentlemen, Germ Freak Radio presents.
Oh, that's right. It's that part of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Let's set it up like we've been doing it all the time. Why not? It's Germ Freak's Things He Could Do Without. What's bugging you now? What's got your goat?
Okay. Why do we need in Burger King? You ever hear of Burger King, the fast food restaurant? Why is it necessary
First of all, things I can do without? Questions that are obviously answered.
Okay. Why is it necessary to have five drink sizes? There's a kids, a small, a medium, a large, and a king. The kids is 12 ounce, the small is 16 ounce, the medium is 22 ounce, large is 32 ounce, king is 42 ounce. Why do we need all of these increments of ounces? Why? Why do we need it?
Did you move your desk out onto the porch? Are you sitting in a rocker with a blanket over your knees? You're rapidly aging. Is this seriously what bothers you, Frank?
I went to Burger King the other day, and my head was spinning. Do we need five different sizes of soft drinks with just differences of ounces between the five of them? Is that necessary?
No, we need five all the same. That's what we need. I see where you're coming from. If I'm getting a drink, I either want some, a lot, or none. I could say that the two sizes is perfect. Which sizes do you propose we get rid of?
Well, listen to me. We have the kids, which is a 12-ounce. We have a small, which is 16-ounce. All right. Is 4 ounces that noticeable to you?
4 ounces? Yeah. I mean, you look at the kids' cup. It's a little fucking rinky-dink, taller... Dixie cup. There's nothing to it. I need more than the kid size. I'm safe to get rid of the kid size cup.
Now the large is 32 ounce.
Fuck the kids. They're not that thirsty.
Listen to me.
They don't need anything.
The large is 32 ounce. The king is 42 ounce. There's 10 ounce difference between the large and the king. Too much beverage.
I want to just acknowledge, Frank. Did you go to a film noir festival over the weekend? Why in the fuck is your cam so perfectly black? I'm looking at your cam. You look like the fucking Phantom of the Opera.
Are you trying
to steal what I'm doing here? You're trying to
That's
do
what
a, you're trying to go for the black background thing, but you haven't quite figured out that you need light reflecting on you.
No, I figured it out, and this is what I'm happy with. This amount of light.
You look like an alleyway rapist right now.
Oh.
There's no way to explain your lack of illumination. Just turn the light on in the room.
I prefer not to. I have a messy room and I prefer not to.
I gotta see it. Turn it on.
I prefer not to.
You've had it on there before. There's nothing changed, I promise you. Turn the light on.
I'm happy the way I am.
Now you're wearing... Why are you wearing your sunglasses at night? So you can't see?
Please do not pressure me.
He's got his sunglasses on. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
All right, come
anyway, on. Back to it. The kid size. Get rid of the kid size. Give them a fucking carton of milk. I remember getting the kid's meal at McDonald's as a kid. I got a fucking little half cylinder of juice with a foil top that I had to poke through. Or a fucking McDonald's branded milk carton.
Are you talking about the Happy Meal?
Yes, the Happy Meal when I was a kid. You know, the one that you still eat.
Do you know I was one of the first people to ever have a Happy Meal?
Shut the fuck... Well, yeah, probably.
When they first came out?
I was going to say shut the fuck up, but really, you are that old. How old is the Happy Meal?
At least 25 years old, if not more. Jeez. At least 30 years old.
Wait, 25 years? So you were 13 eating a Happy Meal?
No! Listen, whatever.
Holy shit.
Listen to me.
You were 13 or was it 15? I don't know how old you are. But let it all out. What are the things you can do without, Frank?
Okay.
Let's get down to brass tacks with these drink sizes that seem to have you all up in arms.
Yes. Do we need to have five different egg sizes?
What about the drinks? Where are you moving to?
I apologize. Well, listen,
all we did was create some thirsty kids. Say fuck the kids; they don't drink. Now
this is what the solution is.
Let's resolve it.
Just let the kids have a sip of the parents' beverage.
just here, take a sip of this. It's diet.
That's all.
It'll give you tumors, but it'll quench you for a little bit.
Yes.
Eat your fries and shut the fuck up.
Right. We need to eliminate. There need to be two sizes, small and large. Medium needs to be discontinued. What is the point of the medium? Well, why do you order a medium ever?
Well, it depends. Now, you've been to Chipotle, correct?
Yes.
You know that the Chipotle establishments, they all have refills.
As do most places,
okay,
yes.
Okay, so what is your philosophy with the refill?
Well, the philosophy with the refills is you obviously get this, you buy the small, because you're going to refill as much as you want. There's no point in buying the large cup. Just get the smallest cup.
Okay, so the smallest cup at a Chipotle is pretty much like a medium at a McDonald's. And that's good, because how many times do you really want to go up? That's the smallest refillable beverage you can get. It's like a medium cup. I say get rid of everything below medium, call medium small, and call large large. And then they call it a fucking day. I mean, you're already letting these people refill it. Just
let me ask you,
give them the medium and the large.
How often do you typically refill your beverage when it's allowed to be refilled on your own?
When it's allowed? What do you mean when it's allowed?
When the drinks are bottomless at these fast food places, how often do you usually go back?
When they're bottomless. Let me get a bottomless cup of Joe.
That's the term, smartass.
Actually, it's just called the soft drink, and you can go and
they're
get it.
Bottomless. They're
Nobody
bottomless.
Nobody fucking says bottomless anymore. Do you understand?
They're bottomless.
Extry.
Get with the times.
It's fucking 2008, Frank.
All right, you're an asshole.
We're not even talking through copper wires anymore. There's no fucking... I'm talking to you through the air. It's amazing.
Listen to me.
It's the future, Frank. We don't need to talk about bottomless drinks. But I would go up. I go up to fill it once, and then when I'm ready to leave, I'll fill it up for the road. Now, what about you?
Well, let me ask you a question. What I do is I just fill it up and pour it right out. I fill it up about 5 or 6 times with soda, and I just pour it right out. This way, at least I get my money's worth.
I'm not following you. Are you saying that you fill it up and just walk up and waste it?
Yeah, you know that little grate at the bottom of the drink? I just take it and I fill it up and I just pour it out.
You don't just fucking dump it out?
Yes, I do.
You're because lazy. You don't go up to do anything.
I taste all the different varieties of drinks. The Fanta orange drink, the High C grape.
When you give a kid the power of the bottomless drink, as you say, they'll think they're fucking chemists going around. Oh, look, it's a Sproke.
Dude,
I made a Sproke.
I remember when they first started doing it, the self-serve drinks, I thought it was the fucking best thing in the world. Because I was like, I was pretending like I was working there myself. I was getting the fucking cup, putting it in there, pushing the thing in. And get a drink. It was like I was working there.
Did you feel guilty going up for more?
Thing.
Did you feel guilty going up for more at first? You're like, oh, should I do this? I mean, are they gonna talk to me and yell at me a little bit? Getting free drinks.
Listen, a lot of times I would take a beverage and not like the taste of it, so I'd pour it out. Like sometimes if I go to 7-Eleven and I'll get a if I get a coffee or something like that, I'll pour the whole coffee, and then if I don't like the taste of it, I just dump the fucking thing out. But I make sure nobody looks before I dump it out.
So you put your lips to this cup and sip from it. I guarantee you, if you saw somebody drink from a cup, dump it out, and refill it, you'd make them get a new cup.
Oh, no. You know what?
You have such a double standard.
Listen to me. I ensure that the part that my lips touched does not touch.
Come on, shut up. You do not.
Listen to me.
You're never that cautious.
Listen to me, asswipe. There's nothing more foul than when people refill their drinks at the fast food places and their goddamn straw is brushing up against the fucking part where the fucking soda comes down. It's repulsive and vile.
Do you even put a lid on yours? I mean, you go up
and... I do not put... There's no need for a lid.
Why not?
Because do you put a lid on at home? No. You're at home, do you put lids on your drinks? No.
I don't go up 8 times.
Exactly.
I don't go up 8 times and pour my own beverages out.
When you start putting lids on your drinks at home, then maybe we'll talk.
You know what? If I had a stack of lids that I could just fucking take 12 of them and throw them out and then use one, I would probably put lids on my drink.
Now, let me ask you a question.
I prefer a lid on the drink.
when you have a beverage at home, do you have like small, medium, large, keg size? I mean, how do you decide what size to have at home?
Well, you see, you have a glass and you have these things called eyes and a knowledge of volume. So if you're really thirsty, you pour a lot. If you're not, you pour a little. See, that's how you create small and large. It's not that fucking difficult.
I see.
That's why they have different sizes. Some people don't want to be stuck with a fucking gallon of Mr. Pibb.
Right.
Do you understand?
I do.
I mean, as long as we got that understanding, N-word, we cool.
I do.
I said N-word. I don't know why. Anyway, what's next? The drinks, what are you getting rid of? Everything but small and large.
All we need is large and small. Get rid of this kids. Get rid of this medium. Get rid of this king.
Well, I mean, in that case, do we need a medium anything?
We don't need any. Medium needs to be abolished. There's no need for a medium. You're either thirsty a little bit or you're thirsty a lot. Period.
So no more medium ever.
No more medium.
You've heard
medium
it here.
Needs to be abolished.
You've heard it here from Germ Freak on Germ Freak Radio's Things I Could Do Without. What's next on your litany of complaints?
Do we need 5 egg sizes, for Christ's sake? Do we need a small, a medium, a large, an extra large, and a jumbo?
I honestly don't buy eggs enough to know this. I just go and I say, hey, I'd like the biggest eggs I can get. Give me a goddamn fucking double yolk ostrich egg. I don't care. But where are you purchasing these different sized eggs? I mean, is this how they do it?
It's called a supermarket.
In any supermarket, they have small, medium, large, all kinds of eggs.
Yes, they do.
Bullshit!
Bullshit yourself.
What, like some magical animal's gonna just deliver these eggs of different sizes and someone checks them and grades them? I say not. I think you're living in a fantasy world, Germ Freak.
When's the last time you bought eggs?
I really don't know. Several months ago.
Okay.
I don't buy eggs often. I eat them out. I have eggs prepared for me. Like
yes.
A gentleman.
And you order
like
them
a lazy gentleman.
Over medium.
Over medium. That's how you get an egg.
I never heard anybody use the term over medium in my life until I met you. Never.
That's funny because there were people that did it before me. And that's how I learned. I didn't create over medium.
It's over light. You don't say over medium. It's over light.
Okay. You say over light to somebody, you're going to get a fucking a gooey mess. You're going to have some kind of just sluicy, used to be a hopeful chicken or whatever. I don't know. Used to be something that could be a chicken. Just liquid you're going to get. Jesus Christ. Why, now, what size egg would you want? I think obviously you want the largest one.
I do. I want the jumbo egg. I want the biggest one humanly possible.
But maybe someone wants it. Maybe someone wants a teeny egg, Frank. Where are the teeny eggs going to go? Do you realize that what you're saying is you want chickens to be controlled and genetically engineered to only produce large eggs?
Because
the thing is they don't all birth the same type of egg. That's why they have different sizes. You fucking dope. What are they going to do with all these small eggs? What are they going to do? What do they do with all the small eggs?
I haven't gotten to that point yet.
Yeah, let me know. Okay, since you're invalidating small, medium, large, and extra large, you don't even know. You know what? You wouldn't even know the difference. If someone handed you an extra large and a jumbo,
I think I would.
You would not know the difference.
It's bigger, obviously.
You wouldn't know the difference. They're the same fucking size. You know what? It's just some fucking guy that stands there and says, "Oh, this one's a jumbo. This one's an extra large." Somebody that like that Bigwell works with sorts out eggs.
When you buy your eggs, do you open the carton to ensure that they're not cracked?
When I've bought eggs, yeah, I like to know that I'm not getting a damaged dozen.
I see.
No, I need to know that. I mean, you do that too, right? I don't need the perfect dozen. But I don't want one of those wet cups where the egg sits in the little carton. You don't want a wet cup in an egg carton.
That's not good. That's not good.
Because sometimes they're not styrofoam. Sometimes they're the paper, and you're going to come home and like 6 of the eggs will fall out.
But did you ever purposely, like just for fun, break the eggs in the carton?
No, I never have. Have you?
I stuck my finger in a couple of them.
See, this is the type of shit that you'll go nuts over. But you'll just do it because you have some kind of an urge that you have to satisfy. I'm getting the feedback from Ed McGrath, your buddy and Seinfeld superior. He says overlight equals jizzed in eggs. Holy shit.
Now, you mentioned the double yolk. Do you enjoy the double yolk? It's a very rare instance that you get the double yolk.
I have to say, I feel a little bit superior when I crack that open and I see a double yolk. When I see a double yolk, I feel like, wow, this is two lives I've ended.
It's a bonus. It's a bonus.
This would have been two lives. This was nature trying to create two chickens, and here I am doing my part. I'm in getting my double egg. I am now getting a triple egg sandwich with a little bit of dead pig on a bagel. It's beautiful. We're killing wheat, pigs, and three fucking chickens.
Now,
before lunch.
Are you aware that when you use the term chicken, you're using a general term for a male and a female? Are you aware of that?
Seriously, are you asking me this? I mean, of a sudden, did your son Luke get on and you're trying to teach him what sound the piggies make? You dumb fuck.
Did you ever get blood in an egg?
Yeah, it's disgusting. I get a little bit irritated with that. I almost want to throw it out. But you know what? At the end of the day, you just eat it. You don't fucking throw it out, do you?
You eat the bloody egg? Really? You would eat that?
Why not? It's, you know what? You're eating, you have to think of what you're eating. You're eating a chicken fetus. Do you understand? A little blood really isn't much of a step further. Now, what happens when you get it? You crack an egg open, you see that little streak of blood. What do you do?
I won't eat it. I'll toss it.
You'll throw it out.
Yes.
You're cooking it. What are you going to get? You think you're going to contract a disease? You're going to get chicken
AIDS?
Dude,
I'm not going to drink stuff. I'm not going to eat somebody's blood. Come on now. But let's be honest.
It's not somebody. It never was somebody. It was destined to be something. But it never was. Instead, it's going to become a fucking pancake or an omelet or something. It's not a fucking chicken or whatever. Pristine's checking in. Our buddy who last week you said had a nice, clean-shaven, baby-ass face, which was a little gay. I want to let you know.
He does. He had a nice clean-shaven face.
Within 7 days' time, he now has a fucking 5-inch thick beard.
Oh, boy.
Right on his fucking chin. And he's saying that he can't stand blood on anything. Steak, anything. He sees blood, he's out of the game. Now, I like a bloody steak. I really do enjoy a bloody steak.
Let me get to that, the next point there.
Well, what is it? I don't understand.
Meat doneness.
No.
Okay?
No. Meat doneness?
Yes.
Doneness.
Meat doneness.
Explain what doneness is. Please tell me what the fuck doneness means.
You really can't figure it out. You're that much of a dumb fuck.
I understand. I'm just, okay, I'm baffled that a 40-year-old man would use...
I'm 38.
Round up. I'm baffled that a 40-year-old rounded up man would come up with doneness instead of ways to cook meat.
All right, listen to me. Okay. We have the rare...
The cookedness, says Keith from Best in Show. Bestinshowradio.com, Sundays, and... Soon to be Thursdays on Heroes Talk. That's heroestalk.com. Continue, okay. Please.
We have very rare.
Very rare.
We have rare.
Blue rare, I've heard.
Blue rare, very rare. They call it black and blue or whatever. It's barely cooked, okay?
Sure.
Rare. Okay. Outside is gray-brown.
Now, wait, let me ask you something. Are you talking about, are we trying to eliminate one of the methods of doneness?
Yes. There will only be two methods of doneness.
Two?
Yes.
Oh, you're gonna incite a riot. You're gonna incite some kind of a war.
May I finish?
Go ahead.
Okay. Is it necessary to have the very rare? The rare outside is gray brown, middle is slightly red. The rare plus. Medium.
I've never heard anybody order rare plus.
Well, you haven't been to Ruth Chris Steakhouse, have you?
I have, actually, and nobody's ever said rare plus.
It's one of the choices.
Have you ever ordered it rare plus? Oh, continue down the list. Down the list.
All right. Let me start over again because you interrupted me.
Very
rare. Okay. Very rare. Rare. Rare plus. Medium rare. Medium. Medium well done. Well done. Okay. What the frig is the difference between medium and medium well? I don't understand. It's too confusing. We eliminate all the ways to cook meat. There's only two ways, rare and well done. Get rid of everything else.
What? I like my medium. I don't want it too rare. I don't want it too fucking crisp. How do you order yours?
I order it so well done that it's like shoe leather.
Why? You're not able to enjoy it at that point. It's like that boot you left in Newark when you stepped on a condom. It's fucking inedible. Why would you get it well done? Do you realize
that I don't want to see any pink. I don't want to see any bloody messes in there.
You don't want to see any pink? Figured that about you, Frank. When you order things well done, they're giving you a shittier cut of meat because there's no way you can tell. They give you the most gristly, just shredded, terrible-looking piece of meat ever. Just fucking throw it in the flames. Put it on the coals. Doesn't matter. Rare, medium rare, well done, whatever.
You
need the gradations. You need every time you order it, they'll say, okay, a little pink inside, a little bit of brown on top. They describe it perfectly, and then it's a code that we've all agreed on. Now you're just going from red or black. That's the only way you can get your steak now. Red and dripping or black and ashy. No offense, Mike Nice. I understand you've been using lotion. I apologize. But like there's got to be some kind of in-between.
When I was a young child, there were three choices: rare, medium rare, and well done. Okay, now you have medium rare, medium well done. It's just mind-boggling. You have to at least give me that.
Why is it mind-boggling? People pretty much stick to what they have. Nobody's going, okay, I've had rare last time. Let me try rare plus. On the dangerous side. I want to have rare plus today.
These people making this steak are not privy, are not intelligent enough to decipher between all these different things. How many times I ordered a well done and I see pink in the middle and I almost want to vomit when I bite into it and there's a pink.
And do you send it back?
Of course not.
So you stay with
it. I sit there with a fucking puss on my face and I'm miserable.
You sit there and you have to wait for it to cook itself. You have to leave it there so it cooks. You do. If you leave your shit there, like my girlfriend's dad likes it so that it's bleeding. So as soon as he gets a steak, he just hacks it up into pieces so it can't cook itself. If you left yours sitting on the hot plate, it might actually get rid of the pink. But no, right away, you got to shove it down your throat into your asshole, basically, bypassing your stomach and esophagus. Just reach into your asshole next time. Put the entire meal in there. We've all seen how you eat. You don't chew, you don't swallow. Just right in the ass.
When you get a piece of steak at the steakhouse, what do you usually get? New York strip, filet mignon, prime rib? What is your usually choice?
I enjoy a porterhouse. Porterhouse cooked medium. Medium.
Now, is there a bone in a porterhouse?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
One side's the filet, one side is the New York strip.
Okay. How pissed off do you get when you see fat on the steak?
Not at all. That means you're going to have a flavorful steak.
When 75% of it is a piece of fat, that doesn't piss you off? It gets me so angry when I see fat on the steak that what I do is I put it right on the plate and I show it to and I'll eat all the steak part and I'll show the fat stuff in plain sight, so when the waitress comes, she'll say to me, "Oh, you didn't enjoy it?" And I say, "It's all fat."
So you just try to form all the fat to look like a mini steak.
Yes, you know how when you're a kid, you play with your food, you swish it around so that it looks like you ate food and you really didn't.
Yeah.
Well, I fucking take the fucking the fat is visible, and when the waitress says to me, "Did you enjoy your dinner?" I say, "Obviously not. I have a plate of rubber fat in front of me."
But do you understand that you need the fat? That's where the juice comes from in a steak. That's where the flavor comes from for most of the steak. You need a well-marbled piece of meat. And that little chunk on the end is fucking perfect.
I hate the term marbled.
What are you talking about?
I hate that. Because you know what that means. That means a mixture of fat and meat. Don't call it marbled. Just call it fat.
Oh, hold on. Let me get Peter Luger on the line. You can really tell him how fucking wrong he went with that phrase. You fucking dope. Everybody calls it marble.
Who the fuck is Peter Luger?
Oh, exactly. You fucking steak hack. You fucking... You're a nobody in the steak world, you son of a bitch. Who the fuck is Peter Luger? It's the number... It's consistently the best steakhouse in America. Or in the top five. Forgive me if somebody mentioned some Morton's or something. I don't understand. We have a caller here. It's 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with a very irate germ freak for some reason. Who's this?
Foundry Music Jeff.
Jeff, how are you? What's going on?
What's up, Jeffrey?
I have a question for Frank, if I may.
Yes, you may.
Frank, how is it that by choice you've eliminated all pleasure from any possible thing you would derive pleasure from?
Why are you unable to enjoy anything?
I don't know.
I mean, you look at this, you say, this fucking steak, and now your night out is ruined. And you have to turn it into a scene.
Jeff, listen, Jeff, you go to a steakhouse, okay? You go to a very expensive steakhouse restaurant. You get a piece of steak. 75% of it is fat. That doesn't piss you off inside?
No. And in fact, that's how you determine what a good steak is. Ken is right. It's in the marbling. How much fat?
He doesn't like it, Jeff. He doesn't want to hear marbling. Don't you understand? Peter Luger.
Are you people aware that fat is not good for you? Have you got the memo?
Just because you get it. Do you eat the bone, Frank? Because they serve you the bone, too. I mean, if you're going to eat everything on the plate because they give you fat, you're going to eat it. You may as well eat the fucking the T-bone. You douche.
Frank,
you don't eat fat.
If you don't want to have a good cut of meat, go to ShopRite and buy yourself a $4 shell steak.
Go get a Jack Daniel's steak at fucking
Luger.
Fridays.
Listen to me.
Don't go to a restaurant like Peter Luger's and drop $70 on a steak and have him cook all the flavor out of it. That's just ridiculous.
All right, first of all, you guys are putting me on, okay?
What are you talking about?
Please let me speak with Jeffrey for a moment.
Oh,
okay?
I apologize.
Right,
talk to Jeff.
My favorite meal in the world is the marrow of a bone.
Oh yeah.
That's the gelatinous.
Jeff, can I ask you
goopy stuff in
can
a
I
bone?
Ask you something?
I know you're putting me on.
Yeah. No, I want to ask you something. When you get some kind of a meat with a bone, do you chew on that on the bone of the steak or the chops? Do you chew on that bone?
Absolutely.
See? You fuck! You bald fuck! You
like
see?
Because it's that fat that reminds us that we're eating, good meat.
Listen to me. Please let me just broach this for a moment. You go to a fancy restaurant, you order a $29 piece of steak, okay?
$29? Where are you going to get steak?
Is that expensive?
$29 is relatively cheap if we're talking about steakhouses.
All right, whatever.
Frank only has his caviar boiled.
Excuse me, sir? Okay, 75% I'm not talking...
Your caviar boiled, sir.
Go ahead, Frank, go ahead.
Okay, I'm a little conflicted here because you get a steak, okay, and 75% of the steak is just a piece of yellow fat. Do you actually chomp down on the fat, Jeff? Do you actually take a knife and fork to the fat and eat it up?
Well, I mean, the sign of a good steak is a well-trimmed one, and they'll get rid of most of that gristle, which is what I think you're talking about.
Yes.
And what's left behind is just enough to give the meat some flavor. The fat's where the flavor is.
Let me say something, Frank. How many
There's no flavor in the flesh.
Yeah. Now, Frank, how many ounces of steak do you think should be enough for a person?
Per sitting?
How many ounces of meat do you think
12-ounce steak?
12 ounces is insane. 12 ounces of actual meat is a lot, dude.
The only meat I get is filet mignon because there's hardly any fat, exterior fat on there.
Of course. You know what? You also like fucking bisque and fucking minestrone soup. You're fucking bland.
Filet mignon is the best piece of meat there is, the best
No,
cut.
It is not.
Oh, yes, it is, sir.
No, it's not. Jeff, filet mignon.
Wait, Frank, you like bisque?
I do not. Like bisque.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I misspoke when I mentioned bisque. I apologize about that. Jeff, what's the best cut of meat?
What do you get when you go, Jeff? What cut?
I get what's called a cowboy cut, which is it's about.
Is that like some kind of a piercing?
The bone itself is about a foot and a half long, and at the end is a piece of steak the size of a catcher's mitt, and it's quite. It looks like a tennis racket. Of steak, and it's just fantastic.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
It cost about $70 in my local steakhouse, and you know, it's something I treat myself to every once in a while.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just fantastic. Lots of fat, lots of meat, lots of bone.
So, Jeff, what would you recommend Frank do with himself?
Well, I mean, why don't you just get a piece of meat and microwave it?
Yeah, why don't you just throw it in there and put it on defrost until it turns black? Very good. Thank you very much, Jeff. Germ's got a bunch of other things. I'm sure that you'll be able to respond.
I do.
I'm sure you do. Now, Frank, you form the fat and all the leftovers and the grizzle into the shape of a steak so that the waitress comes by.
Yes. So when she comes by and she asks me, how was everything? I pick up the plate, I put it under her nose, and I say, how do you think I have a fucking plate of rubber in front of me. How do you think I like it?
And what do they say to you?
What can they say? Oh, I'm sorry you didn't like it.
Yeah, eat blah, blah, shit, blah, 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 Baldy. Eat shit, you fucking skinhead. Go to Chuck E. Cheese. Go to Friendly's and get a steak, you fuck.
I thought they would give me a discount. They didn't give me a discount ever.
Why would they? Held it under their nose and did that. It's amazing. It's absolutely awful. So you're saying well done and raw.
Yes.
That's it. Raw, yes, or well done?
I love my steak well done. Dry. I need it very dry so that when I swallow it, it's almost like I'm choking. Are you aware of that?
No, but I'm aware Rob Giggs will probably have something very nice for us pretty soon. Pretty soon. Well, it's interesting to hear some of the things that you're tired of. Are there anything else? Is there anything else that is almost innumerable that you'd like to narrow down? Like maybe, I don't know, the type of bridges that we have, the roads that we drive on.
If I could just digress for a second, please.
Please digress.
Go ahead. Okay. I'm driving down the road yesterday, and what do I see? I see a woman with her disgusting feet sticking out the window. Why do people put their goddamn feet out the window in the summer? Wait. It's repulsive to see somebody's disgusting, grimy feet. It's repulsive.
Was she the driver?
She was not the driver.
Okay. Because you may say it's nuts. How can that happen? Go to the South and look for any black driver in August. You'll see their left leg dangling out over the side mirror.
Now I'm just gonna say something. Pristine Sneakers typed in the room, sorry, chicks with feet out the window is sexy. See, I'd like to know how is it sexy? Because maybe I'm missing something.
You see
something
a little
here.
Bit of the leg. You see some bare flesh. You see that they don't really care to sit properly. Maybe they'll be in some other position. But no, you see a foot and you think, scaly skin.
All right, do you find that when you see the bottom of somebody's foot and it's jet black, are you repulsed by that?
Yes.
Are you repulsed by
yes.
that?
Yes. When I see runaway meth addicts and they show me the bottom of their feet, yeah, I'm pretty turned off at that point. When it's jet black, what the fuck? What fucking Indian tribe are you coming into contact with that this is a regular occurrence and a turn off? 316-768-4472. I think we got a question for you. This is Pristine Sneakers. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, wow. Check you out. What's going on, Dionne Warwick?
Yeah, no. The feet out the window. It's not the feet themselves that are on that. Like, it's the whole. It's just so fucking carefree. Like, there's something. I'll explain why I think it's hot. It's because I've seen so many guys driving next to me with their hot girlfriends, and they're just sticking their feet out the window, and I hate them both. It's a jealousy thing. And I'm jealous. I'm jealous because they're so fucking. They're having so much fun. You know what I mean? He's saying things that sound like.
Yeah, no, exactly. You're going through really hard times. You're struggling to pay your rent, or you're fucking breaking up with a girlfriend, and you see this guy in his fucking Chrysler LeBaron convertible with his hot girlfriend sticking her fucking leg out.
I'm driving. I'm wondering how many people I can take out with me when I finally decide to do it. And then there goes this couple, and her feet are out the window. And I'm like, what the fuck causes it? And I look at it, I'm like, you know, it's sex, because she's feeling good, man. She feels good. I don't mind it. I mean, if you're talking about disgusting people are just disgusting.
Let me just interrupt you for a second. What happened in my case is the following. The person who was in front of me they crossed over in front of me, and I got a whiff of the person's feet through the breeze. It was repulsive. It was disgusting. I almost vomited.
That's a very rare exception. I could never imagine smelling anything coming out of anyone's car while we're both moving.
Exactly.
My nose, but
exactly. He's out of his mind.
That's horrendous. But like, generally speaking, like, it's one of the things I hated for a long time, and I realized because I'm jealous.
Yeah, no.
I have no girl that's so comfortable and happy next to me that she's just like, fuck the seatbelt. I'm putting my legs out the window.
I'm going to take my entire torso and hang it out the side window while I put my head in your lap or whatever the fuck it is. This fucking bitch has her head face down in some dude's lap.
Exactly. The heels of her feet are facing you.
And it's not even that she's that hot. The boyfriend's a mess. The car sucks. They're just happy, and it sucks.
They're happy, and you're not. I don't want to lump you into my category. I'm sorry.
Well, we've all been there at times. The germ freak is always there. But he thinks he smells these feet, and that's why he's out of his mind.
Well, maybe it was just a turnpike.
You think it's psychosomatic? Like, he doesn't really smell the feet?
No, there's no way you could. There's no way you could smell somebody's feet passing by.
It's not hard to believe, right?
I mean, it would have to literally be a homeless person that has foot rot. Like, it would have to be rotting flesh, and you'd have to be stopped next to this person to smell anything. Just fucking stop. Lax Play has just sent something, and he just said, just stop. You did not smell the feet. Stop
it. Listen to me. This is what's even worse than the bare feet. When they have their sock feet out the window, and the sock feet are – and the socks are
disgusting. Wait, why is that worse? They're covered up? They have some kind of protection? There's some absorptive fibers covering them?
There's nothing more foul than seeing the bottom of somebody's dirty socks. It is the most vile thing ever.
What if they're clean? Have you seen clean socks and not been bothered by them?
Frank, have you ever been turned on by a foot?
Oh, no!
Yeah!
No. No.
Like, you haven't seen... Like, I'm not a foot guy, necessarily, but can you recognize that a girl has nice feet?
Well, of course. I mean, if they're, like, long toenails and bunions, of course...
Okay, if you see a girl that looks like she has nice feet and she took her foot and just rubbed it along the side of your face, right up and down the cheek, yeah, that would bother you.
Yeah, I'd have to find the nearest sink.
Pristine. There's a line
to be drawn. I just want to say, like, right? You asked him if he's ever seen. Can he acknowledge nice feet? And he answered with, "Yeah, long, gruesome toes. Those are disgusting." And I'm identifying with Frank just one more time tonight. Like, it's not about, it's like, disgusting feet are disgusting, but, like, you just seem to, like, the whole thing about feet hanging out the window, I guess you're viewing it from a germophobic kind of perspective, and I'm viewing it as just fucking happy people. Like, yeah. I can't wait. I can't, they're going to get their day one day, too.
they're going to get theirs one day.
They're gonna fucking feel me whether they like it or not one day or another. But anyway, I just had to chime in with that.
Thank you very much, Pristine. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
They are truly gonna get theirs one day, and that's what fucking pisses him off. So you see them, you're driving over what, like a fucking overpass or something, and you see this happen?
Overpass, bridge, you know, what have you.
So do you drive over a lot of bridges on a daily basis?
I drive over them. I try to avoid them, but sometimes I have no choice and I have to go over them because they're usually
very, very busy. I mean, they're usually the best way to go sometimes. I mean, the short distance wise, not because of the traffic.
Well, it's a whole procedure.
But that's why
for
a lot
me.
Of people go there.
It's going over bridges is a procedure for me, and I don't really. It's too much pressure.
Well, go through the procedure. Why is it a procedure?
Well, first of all, once I go over a bridge. I have to, and the bridge is over water. I have to remove my seatbelt and open the window, because in case I drive over the bridge, at least I'll already have my seatbelt off and the window open.
Do you understand that you're dead? Let me just tell you something.
No, I don't buy that.
No, I'm telling you right now. Let me set the stage here. You go over this overpass. Your car goes into the water. Water is rushing in. You think you're going to swim out?
I'll have a better chance, boy.
No, you won't. You have to let pressure equalize. The pressure on the inside of the car has to equal
if
the pressure
the
on the outside of the
open,
car.
You don't need to be equalized.
You're fucking
stupid. You don't need to keep your goddamn mouth closed.
You're so dumb.
It only needs to equalize if you plan on opening the entire door. But if the window is already open, there's no need to equalize it. You
the
can just
fucking
swim right
window
out.
Is going to let all the fucking
Dizzy
water
Peach,
in.
Dizzy Peach, I unlock my doors and open the windows too. So I am not alone.
I'm telling you right now, Frank, listen to me with a level bald head. The windows have to be up. The minute that the pressure equalizes and the car is submerged, I want you to leave the windows up and hold your breath as long as you can. That's how you can survive it. Everybody will be better off if you let the pressure equalize and don't attempt to get out. Believe me, if you're going to drive off a fucking bridge, you're not going to last long enough to swim out of the car.
First of all, it depends on how tall the bridge is, okay? Number one. Number two is this. I'll tell you something else I don't buy, which I think is a bunch of bullshit, is the whole fact that hitting water is like hitting concrete from a height. That's a bunch of bullshit.
Oh, I want
water
you to try it.
Water is soft. Water is soft. Okay? It is soft and fluffy. Okay?
We're talking completely incorrect physics on the DJ Newstyle show.
No, I don't buy that.
Anybody who's 12 and has had a science class, please call in to discredit the germ freak. Thank you very much.
I think it's a bunch of bogus crap when people say if you hit the water at a height, it's just as hard as hitting concrete
on
the ground.
Frank,
that's nonsense.
Listen to me. Have you ever been in a pool?
Yes, I have.
Water's soft, right? You're allowed to go in the pool. You can walk around?
Yes.
Have you ever raised your arm up really high and slapped down on the surface?
Yes.
What happens?
It hurts, but it goes... It hurts, but it sinks into the bottom. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't just – let me explain this. It hurts, but my arm goes into the water and below the surface of the water. It doesn't prevent it from going down as if it was a concrete. If you always slap a concrete sidewalk, my arm would just stay there.
Let me tell you something. When they say it's as hard as concrete, they don't mean that once you're at 10,000 feet, the water now turns into concrete. It's like hitting concrete. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ News Style Show with Germ Freak. Who's this?
Hey, it's White-Ass Brent.
White-Ass Brent. Thank you for finally calling in. I've seen you listening for a little while. What's going on?
Not a problem. You know, I just want to talk about the hot chicks with the leg out the window.
Yeah.
I'd like it for a different reason.
Uh-oh.
I like it when they're driving down the road, and I pray to God they get in, like, a rear-end accident, and that airbag flips off and busts the fuck out of their leg. I just pray for it.
That's good.
I'm like, you know, I'm not fucking them. What do I care?
Thanks for making your first call a really frightening one. Seriously, you really want somebody to come away from an accident minus a foot? Is that really what you hope for? How dare you enjoy this sunny day, you cunt? Summertime blows, bitch. You're going to learn. But no, you're really sharing the pristine sneakers view of it, that one day you're going to fucking get yours. And it could be so close as white-ass Brent not paying attention while talking on his cell, calling you to this show while driving on a summer's day. Thank you very much, white-ass Brent.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Keep up the support. I appreciate that. It's madness. And when you do hit back to it, you say that the water, when you hit it from a height, it's poppycock that it's as hard as it's like hitting hard concrete.
I'm not going to say it's not going to hurt. I'm sure it's going to hurt, but you're eventually going to break the surface of the water and go in. See? You know, it's just not going to stop you. See?
You know what's going to
happen? You understand what I mean?
Yes, you're not going to turn into Jesus after your body's been crushed and all your bones are broken. You will eventually sink to the bottom.
Exactly.
You're not going to permanently float. You will hit and you'll be crushed and killed from the impact of hitting the water. And then once your body is stopped and your velocity is zero, you will sink to the bottom.
Now, what do you mean by the velocity is zero? What do you mean by that?
Or is relatively close to it. When it's reduced past the point where the force hitting the water is just like hitting a fucking solid, then you would go through and break the surface. There's a surface tension on water. Surface tension. Do you know what that means?
I'm not sure I'm aware of that.
You know what I mean?
I never took physics.
That's fucking apparent. That really is apparent. So you think it's a myth? You think it's all a
myth?
I
don't think it's a myth, but I think it's overrated.
It's overrated. Yeah, it really is. So I want you to maybe, if you ever get down on your luck, maybe jump off a bridge. I have a confession to make. I've lived in New Jersey my entire life, North New Jersey, NNJ, Hollaback, and I've never driven over a real bridge until maybe last week. The GWB. First time. I've never had to. I've been on it. I've been driven. I never had to. But I finally did. And it was, I gotta say, it was a bit of an experience to see this huge looming thing just approaching you and going over the bridge. It was pretty cool. You look over the edge, you say, wow, I really could take this fucking thing off the if I get fast enough, I really could take this fucking thing off. And thank God I got my windows up, unlike Frank.
All right.
Do you remember the first time that you drove over a bridge? What was the first big bridge?
I don't remember that.
You know what that means?
I have it written
Frank.
Down. Oh, this day I drove over. The bridge that I go over most often is the bridge that goes over the Raritan River. It's called the Edison Bridges or the Driscoll Bridge, I think. That's the one I go over most often.
The Driscoll Bridge. It's not a real bridge. It doesn't have anything. It doesn't look like a bridge. It's just an overpass. It's a glorified overpass. That's what I say.
Okay.
So go ahead, please.
The guardrails on the bridges are probably like 3 feet high at the most. Now, you're going to tell me if you're crashing into that guardrail, you're not going to go over? Those guardrails, there's nothing to them. They're old concrete, that are 100-year-old concrete. You'll go right through that thing. They're all broken up.
And that scares the shit out of you, right?
It doesn't scare you?
Oh, it definitely does. Like, I don't even like driving in that lane next to it. Like, in on any road, even like the highway, the median, I don't like driving next to that shit. And I certainly won't do it on a bridge. I want to be in the middle. I want to be in the middle because I do feel like I will go through. I'm not that good of a driver. I will lose control of the car, and I'll be over with. Once my car hits the concrete water that has been converted to concrete based on my height.
I mean, you've been known to doze off a little bit when you're driving.
A little bit. I've been known to time travel by way of sleeping while driving.
And also what I am very scared about is when you go over bridges that are over water, and for a period you're going over metal grates.
It's not
even roadway. It's just grates. So you can look it down and you can see the water down.
You feel the whole car shake. You like, oh God, is this fucking thing gonna open up on me? Terrible. And North Jersey's notorious. The fucking what is it, the Pulaski Skyway or whatever the fuck those dumb bridges are? Just terrible. Absolutely awful. I hate those fucking things. Can't stand it.
It's scary. Because really, I always feel the grate is just gonna let go and I'm gonna go down.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. This is a rare thing. When I share a fear with you, I have to really keep my life in check. And bridges are one of them. And I guess it's because as a kid, we used to go over a lot of bridges. We have we have some relatives in Long Island. My cousins live out there, and we would visit them on a fairly regular basis. and we were over bridges like two or three each trip. So I had a lot of experience with them being driven over. And have you ever been on a bridge where in the middle of the fucking bridge, you're over the water, you know that you're on the bridge, there's a fucking turn in the middle?
The bridge actually turns itself?
There's a turn in the middle. The Tappan Zee Bridge.
The Tappan Zee Bridge I was on.
Fucking nightmare.
I had to go to Connecticut.
Fucking nightmare.
It's a scary fucking bridge. It's a beautiful bridge, beautiful scenery, but it's scary.
Oh, it's awful. And you imagine, like, people just drive over it every fucking day. Like, it's no big deal. Snow, ice, whatever. I mean, I don't know if they actually do. I'll go over in the snow or whatever. But I'd imagine that, you know, people fucking just get used to it. They just fucking drive along and fucking go. To me, it's fucking insane. I don't know. And you think you're going to go over and die on these bridges.
Yeah, well, I actually did a 360 on the Pulaski Skyway in the winter, like, about 3 or 4 years ago. It was a very scary situation.
I don't know why that's so funny to me.
Dude, I really literally thought I was going to go over. It was very scary.
But you had your windows down, so that's good. It's really good. Like, bridges are like really like just synonymous with death. People always think of bridges. They think they're going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to fall off. I'm going to die. I need to die. I'm going to go to a bridge. I'm going to stand there for a while and fall off. People, they fear dying on bridges, and then when they really want to die, they go to a fucking bridge. People jump off all the time, apparently. Suicide on from a bridge. Have you ever driven by? Maybe seen somebody standing on the outside, and they're not holding a camera. maybe they look like they made a few financial mishaps.
Actually, there was recently somebody jumped from the Driscoll Bridge about a week or so ago, and died. So it's a scary situation.
Yeah, that's not even a good like a cool bridge.
I think it's the best one in Jersey.
No, what about like the Bayonne Bridge or some kind of fucking Pulaski Skyway or something? I don't know. Yeah. Throw yourself off of something cool. I mean, even that like, Route 18 extension over the Raritan is cooler than the fucking Driscoll Bridge.
Well, you mean like Route 1 going over the Raritan River?
Yeah,
there.
We're gonna talk about the grease trucks coming up next.
All right.
Yeah, let's stay away from all the Jersey bullshit.
Yes, I apologize.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely just awful. But, Frank, it's interesting. We talk about bridges, and right away I'm on suicide now. If you had to, you're driven to your end. You have to choose a way to kill yourself. Now, here's a better idea.
Let me give you some choices.
No, before you do that, why don't we guess how the other person would kill themselves?
Okay.
And what are your choices?
Okay. These are the top 10 most common methods of suicide.
Okay.
According to a website.
Co-hosting a radio show with a bald old man.
Yes. Okay. Number 10 is drowning. Would you kill yourself by drowning?
No. I'm afraid of situations where I'm alive, but I can't breathe. Being buried alive, being underwater, under ice.
Now,
that's the worst.
Drowning yourself, what I mean by that is you just jump into like an angry ocean or something and you just can't.
I have a fucking issue with that. Like, there was a movie a couple years back where I guess they were stranded after they went scuba diving and the sharks came out. I don't even remember what the fuck it is. It doesn't even matter. But at the end, the woman just decides to give up.
Oh, open water?
Open water. Water. She just gives up and just says, "That's it! I'm gonna sink now." No survival instinct whatsoever. She just says, "I'm gonna sink," and then she was dead. I don't think you can make yourself drown. If you're able to swim, you're not going to drown.
Right, right. But if you let yourself go, you're not. And then if you fail at it, you could get severe brain damage.
You're saying like uncontrollable waters throw yourself in.
Exactly.
There's no way I could do it because there'll be that time when you're alive and you're thinking, "Fuck, I forgot that Tuesday was going to be awesome." Wednesday was the day that I was gonna go to the fucking game and do all this shit, but no, I have a few fucking stacks of papers I forgot to do at work, and I didn't pay a couple rent checks. Now I'm here under the water and I can't breathe. And you realize all that, and then you're dead.
Now, a drowning death. Do you feel like that's a gruesome death?
Drowning's got to be to me. I mean, I hear it's the most easy because you're basically knocked out within seconds or within like a minute or so. And then you don't feel anything. I hear it's a real painless one. But to me, the fact that you can't breathe fucks me up. That fucks me up.
Because are you aware of Dr. Mangala?
Yes.
Okay. He died drowning. So I'm wondering if it was, you know, if God was giving him his just desserts, if you know what I mean.
Perhaps he was. What's the next one? I mean, how many ways do you have here? I mean, there has to be countless.
Would you
ways.
Kill yourself by electric shock? Would you go in a bathtub and throw in a toaster?
Well, I think this kind of goes, the way you're approaching this goes against the game that I proposed where we guess what each other was going to do.
Oh, well, you want, all right, you guess mine, I'll guess yours.
What I was saying is you go down the list and mention them. Don't ask me if I would or wouldn't.
Okay.
But now you already, you can cross
them real
off
quick.
Two of them now, you fuck. Go ahead.
You may just mention them real quick down the line?
Yeah.
Okay. Drowning, electric shock, slitting your wrists or any type of artery. jumping off of obviously jumping? A high octave.
Jesus, that whole crisscross song was about suicide. And Van Halen, too, I would never guess.
Suffocation, carbon monoxide inhalation, poisoning, hanging, drug, alcohol overdose, or gunshot. Out of those 10, how would you choose to kill yourself?
I think you would probably, did you say pills would probably be like poisoning then? Pills would be some kind of like poisoning yourself?
Yes, exactly.
Then I think you would be somebody that would poison yourself because you're too weak to do it any other way. You'd eat something. You would rather eat something to end it all than take any action or jump off anything.
Okay.
Now, what do you think? What do you think I would?
Let me think about it. I'm thinking that you would do the carbon monoxide inhalation.
You really think I'm going to fucking run a hose? If I'm really depressed, I'm not going to do arts and crafts.
Okay, so what would be yours then? Wrong with me.
It's got to be a gunshot right away. Boom.
Why would you want to I would still want to keep myself whole, not splatter myself. You know,
for what purpose? You don't like yourself. Why do you want to keep yourself intact?
For the funeral, for the casket.
So you're going to risk the thing is the reason why people do the pill thing is so that they can be found and saved. You don't want to do it, but you want the attention. So that's why you do that. The gunshot people, they don't give a fuck how you find them. They don't care about your drapes. They don't give a shit about your choice of wallpaper.
Well, can we go over each one here,
yeah,
if you will?
Well, go ahead. Let's go down the list.
Okay. We did the electric shock. How do you feel about filling a bathtub up and taking a utensil of some sort, like a toaster, and just throwing it in there?
Painful, I think. Pretty painful. Not always guaranteed to work. You could survive that. I would guess. Maybe you pick too low of a fucking voltage. You throw a fucking Sonicare toothbrush in a bathtub.
An electric utensil, i.e., electric knife.
An electric knife. This fucking thing never worked. Fuck it. Terrible.
Okay.
Absolutely awful. That's the stupid.
Now, if you fail at trying to electric shock yourself, you can suffer from deep burns and severe damage of your skin.
Yeah.
Number 8. Slicing your wrists.
Now, is there a word for this?
Yes. Exsanguination.
Scott, I really could use a fucking sandwich right now. Really good. Nice fucking sandwich.
Would you ever...
I got all this gabagool.
And let me ask you a question.
I got it from Barini's at cost.
If you were going to slice your wrists, how would you do it? Are you aware of the proper way to slice your wrists?
I believe the rhyme goes down the block, not across the street. So you go straight down and not across. That's a mistake people make.
Exactly.
Exactly. Have you ever thought about doing that?
Have I ever thought about it?
No. Like, if you think that, like, picture yourself at the door of committing suicide. Mm-hmm. Would your germophobia come into contact? Like, you wouldn't want to put a knife in your veins because in some part of your mind, you still have that fear of getting germs in your blood, even though you want to die.
At that point, I wouldn't give a crap.
You'd take just a shit knife? A knife that someone used to slice up the shit for their shit sandwiches? A butter knife somebody cut turds with?
Exactly.
Just fucking jam it in your neck. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Pristine Sneakers checking in. He says, Frank would open the suicide door with a napkin around his head. So, yeah, I think you would definitely swallow pills. I would definitely take a shotgun blast to the face. And then we'd all be good. You might be saved, but I guarantee you I got the job done.
Now, how awful is it to fail at killing yourself?
Oh, that's got to be bad. That's got to be bad. But I think some of the failure is inherent in some of the methods. Like you said, there's a wrong way to cut your wrist. People that cut it the wrong way, you know, it's pretty common that you have to do it the one way. So people do it the other way. So, oh, maybe I'll be found and I'll live and people will care. Or I mean, maybe you'll overdose on fucking Dimetapp and Flintstones vitamins and they'll see, and you'll just throw extra empty containers around you. It's like, oh, he's in the medicine cabinet. Well, but really, you're just very energetic because you just had a bunch of vitamins.
How would you shoot yourself? What would you do? Would you put it
right
in your mouth?
No, I wouldn't put it in my mouth. You know what? I would just go right under the chin. That's the way I think you'd have to do it.
Are you guaranteed to die if you do that?
I would hope. I mean, I've seen pictures of the guy that tried to kill himself with a shotgun directly to the face, but he still lived. He didn't have a face. He had like a hole from under his, like a half inch under his eyes, and then just a big tongue. He looked like the back of an adjustable baseball hat. He had little eyes and just a huge mouth. It was fucking disgusting. And they say he's still alive. He's got his arms hanging over a bench. He's laying on his stomach, and his fucking tongue is hanging out.
And now you can see his eyes.
That's the worst. And he has intact eyebrows.
Now, if you fail at shooting yourself and become deformed, you're in worse shape than you were before you even try to kill yourself.
Yeah, got to go Plan B.
Okay.
You gotta find another way to do it.
We already discussed the jumping. What about jumping off of a building? Would you ever do that or no?
I think that would be the most fun way to do it. Like, if you were really resolved to do it, you're really settled, there's no doubt in your mind, you can't be convinced, why not go out with a little ride? Why not try to see how far away from the building you can get? Turn it into a little game. Unfortunately, like, if you take the title and someone beats it, like Barb almost did in Word Challenge on Facebook, she took it and thought she had it until I completely destroyed her. There would be no way for you to try and challenge that to win your title back because you're dead. But you got a little ride, you made it a little bit fun, and you got what you wanted. You're dead. It's not bad. Could you do that?
So in other words, to you, the most fun way to kill yourself would be jumping. That's the most fun way.
I think it's got to be the most fun.
I see.
I mean, people wait in line to do this securely. They stand on these fucking platforms and they parachute, they fucking parasail, they get in that little slingshot thing. They want to feel like what it's like to die, but not. I've been on the top of like an 8-story building, nothing major by any means. Looking over the edge is fucking frightening, absolutely frightening.
No doubt.
Have you? What was the tallest building you've ever been on the top of?
Well, I was on the Empire State Building.
I've never been up that high.
I'm sorry. I was not in the Empire State Building. I was in the World Trade Center.
I knew you had something to do with it.
1980.
I knew you weren't Italian.
Listen to me. Suffocation. Would you wrap yourself with a plastic bag over your head and tie it around your neck?
That's just fucking too long. That's too fucking long. And it goes against my not being able to breathe thing. Like, I've seen the movie with Ben Kingsley and Jennifer Connelly, The House of Sand and Fog. I'm not going to put a plastic suit cover on my face after I put my military uniform on and just hope to run out of air and die. It just seems like it takes too long. You want to fight. You want to get out. Every time you see a movie depicted on that, you know they had to have done some kind of research. There's some bit of realism to it. They're always, get it off me. And then they're done. Then they're fucking done. And there's nothing they can do. They wanted out and they couldn't. Survival instincts. That's what it's about, Germ. They'll come into play. Can't help you out when you're falling from a building. Can't help you out after you've just chewed on buckshot. But you with your fucking pills, that's a different story.
Carbon monoxide inhalation.
Gay. 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 Gay.
Peaceful, though.
Peaceful, but gay. I would say gay.
Okay. Go ahead.
What's that?
We mentioned the poisoning.
Yeah, that's what you would do. Either poisoning or drug abuse. Which I think is the same thing. It's the same thing. You choke down a bunch of shit, and that's that.
The problem with the poisoning is that I don't want to take something and it, like... And it's going to, like, burn my insides out while it makes me die. I don't want to burn my intestines out and die at that time. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there was a guy that I saw on one of these TV shows that tried to kill himself by drinking Drano. But they saved him. And the bonus is that he burned up his entire stomach and intestines and only had a little bit of his esophagus left. So he had to spend the rest of his life swallowing manually. Oh, yeah, I don't have an esophagus anymore. So what they did is they took my small intestine and hooked it up to my mouth. So I have to push down.
They showed him eating it, and it was just a...
Foul. You wanted to die? Why wouldn't you want to die now? You have a manual esophagus now. And you shit immediately. That guy was skin and bone, for Christ's sakes. It's terrible.
Hanging? I don't even know how to hang myself. I wouldn't even know how to do it.
What do you mean you wouldn't know how to do it?
I don't know how to hang myself. Do you have to be at a certain height? Can you just be on a chair that's 1 foot off the ground? Do you need to be real high up in the... I mean, how do you hang yourself? I don't know how to hang myself.
You really don't know? I mean, have you ever seen a fucking movie?
All I see is people take sheets and they go in a bathroom and they hang themselves from the friggin' showers, whatever.
I don't know how to do it. Frank, people do it with electrical cords, ropes, whatever they can use to suspend themselves.
Explain to me.
I would imagine that the idea is you want to cut off your fucking air supply. No, not the band. I know they're awesome. You want to cut off your windpipe so you can't breathe anymore and you die. So you tie something around your neck and to maybe a fucking pipe or something in the ceiling.
Okay.
And then you fucking die. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak. We're talking about hanging yourself. Frank doesn't know how. Who's this?
Looks like I called in at the right time.
I guess you did. Is this Officer Jerk?
Yes, it is. How you doing?
Officer Jerk, good to have you on the show. We're just going through some suicide methods, and Frank brought up hanging yourself, and he had no idea how it worked.
Do you have to be on top of a chair and jump off the chair?
No, actually, you don't. In fact, the really motivated way to do it is you can kind of lean where your ankles are... You're almost like you're sitting, but your butt's a little bit off the ground. I don't know if you've ever seen The Wire, where that guy was murdered, but they made it look like a suicide.
Wait, was that fictitious? Around. That wasn't nonfiction, yeah, right? Yeah, so Frank's never
it
seen
it. It was fiction.
Yeah, Frank's but, never seen
I was
it.
Actually, I've been to a couple of real ones, and there was a guy, a kid who did it in a shed. And what he did was he tied, the string that you cut, your weed whacker line?
Oh, the trimmer string.
Yeah, he used trimmer string, and he did it from a very low height where he was actually rested on his elbows and pulled himself down. I mean, that's a really motivated way of doing it.
Jesus.
But you can get the job done that way.
Holy
now,
shit.
Now, what did this individual look like?
He was thin. He was a thin guy.
Was he blue in the face?
Yes. Now, in fact, it was about 5 days in the middle of August before they found him.
Wow!
Without giving too many details away, they thought he was on a date with another man away, and the family actually found him. Too many details because it's pretty.
Yeah, that's okay. Don't worry about that. Now, Frank, you realize that after you. Hey, like, do you know how traction works? When you have a problem with your back, they stretch you out and your spine kind of elongates and everything aligns itself?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, think about being hung from your neck. Everything's going to just stretch out a little bit.
Right. But this is the point I'm not understanding.
And you get all elongated and blue, and you have these little stress marks under your neck so that at the funeral, the funeral parlor has to come up with something. So usually they put a nice scarf on the person.
All right, this is the understanding. When you go to the gallows and are hung that way and just drop, is that the type of hanging we're talking about? Or is that where you break your neck? There's two types of hanging. The one where you break your neck and the one where you just suffocate to death. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't know much about the gallows because I don't think that's the real common way to do it. I think you need a lot of force to do that hanging. The most common way is just the asphyxiation where you get some sort of cord or rope or...
So it takes time for you to die, though. You're not dying instantaneously.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I think you need to be motivated. You need to. In fact, I went to one in an attic recently, where it would, the creepy part is, you know, when you go into an attic and it's an unfinished attic, you can actually step on the rafters where you know, if you step, there's insulation between the floor where you don't want to have a false step.
Right.
What he did was he put his toes. He threw the cord up around the top rafter, and he was standing on the flat floor joists with his toes. And he was and he had one end around his neck, the other end looped around the top rafter, and he was holding it in his chest. And when he was ready to go, he just kind of let the pressure go on his toes, and his heels sank into the gap between the floor. So at any time he wanted to, he could have just stepped back up. But that was a guy who really wanted to go.
Yeah, the ones with the chair. You usually see in the movies where it's like, oh, I just need to get back up on that chair. And then they knock the chair over, and then it's over.
Right.
That's like, yeah. Oh, I wish I could have, but I can't now. The chair's 6 feet away.
Actually, and if you're hanging for a long time, one of the creepiest things I've ever seen, I still kind of get that that weird feeling when I think about it.
Arousal?
I got a call. A woman called and said that her husband was missing. So me and my partner, we show up. I might have even talked about this one because it was so weird. We show up to the house, and she said, I don't know. I was away for a couple days. I came back, and, you know, he's gone, and all his trucks are here. And I sit down and start doing, you know, asking about her, where does he go? Does he drink? Is there any problems in the marriage? Thinking the guy just kind of took off. Well, my partner's walking around the house, and he sees the telltale signs, the note, the family pictures out, the wedding video, and the VCR.
And he pulled me aside, goes,
yeah, that's always a staple.
No, the wedding video?
Yeah, the wedding video is almost always in the VCR.
Yeah, you see your haircut always from 20 years ago, you're going to want to fucking tie one over the rafters.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a ranch, you know. And he starts telling me, hey, we better start looking for this guy. So we walk around the whole house. And nothing. There's nobody there. So I say, well, you know, maybe he took a long walk. Have we checked the whole house? And she said, yeah, everywhere but the basement.
Oh, man.
So we couldn't find the lights for the basement door. It was an older house. My partner walks down the stairs, and I see him kind of go to the left of the, when you get down the bottom of the attic stairs, and I go straight. And there, in the, it was dusk. In the shadow, in the silhouette of that basement type window, the really thin one, was this guy hanging. But the really creepy part about that was, when you hang for long periods of time, when you're talking about like the spinal, the spinal cord elongates.
Yeah,
it elongates the most where at your neck. So the rope is around your neck, and it's pulling all the skin from your neck up to your chin. So it gives you like a 3 or 4 times folded up skin around underneath your chin. And then your neck, those bones are the ones that elongate the most. So your neck actually can like triple in length. It is the creepiest thing to see, like, silhouetted in the basement.
Fuck. Now the funeral director's got to get all kinds of gold rings to cover up the neck, and just say he really loved Africa. This guy, you should have seen him.
Well, I ended up going to that lip. Guy's autopsy.
Oh no!
And yeah, you could really see what that does to the body, because the tongue then fills up with blood and becomes purple, and it jams like your mouth. You know, your tongue is like a sponge. When it fills up with blood like that, it just fills your whole mouth with a big purple tongue. Very scary.
Very very uplifting story from Officer Jerk today. I'm guessing that since you didn't know about the suicide thing we were talking about, you probably had another story that you wanted to bring up. I know Germ Freak is actually mortified right now. He hasn't spoken in minutes. And are you okay, Frank?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You're fascinated by this shit, aren't you?
You know what? I could listen to these stories forever.
Well,
cop stories are the best stories in the world, because they experience life that we will never experience. Then, they experience situations that we will never even know.
And in your case, they actually experienced the situation of having to be a masculine man. So, Officer Jerk, what's the story you were calling up with?
Yeah, I had one. I know the last time we talked in length, we talked about some of the grosser things that you know you may come across if Jerome was to maybe join the force.
Yeah, you had a little bit of a challenge for him. Like you took some of the aspects of your job and wanted to see if he could put himself in that position.
Right, I think he tapped on at the very first the sentence, but this was one that I thought was especially right up his alley. I got a call. And I was actually with a new guy, and I train the new guys every once in a while. And we got a call that there was an unresponsive person at one of our local restaurants. And we arrive, and first of all, let me just say that people are awful. Because as we're walking in, you don't really know what the urgency is. A lot of things are lost in translation through the dispatcher. And you get called to something unresponsive. It turns out somebody has a headache. Yeah, a lot of things are lost in translation.
Yeah.
But these two guys, corporate type guys, you know, with the IDs on there, swinging from their belts, and you know, they come. Hey, she doesn't look so good. You might want to get in there. We go in there, and you know, when you were a kid and you played Cowboys and Indians, and you got shot, the way you would lay on the ground when you were dead.
Yeah, you have your fucking arms like you're completely like about to do a snow angel.
Exactly. Well, there's this woman right behind the hostess table, arms out, legs out, right in the snow angel position, eyes rolled back in the head, like dead. I mean, not just maybe she's having some heart trouble or she's dead. And people are eating and they're looking, they're giving the worried look, you know, where you have to look to the side around the person's head who you're facing.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Still eating.
These fucking mozzarella sticks are banging, but like, what the fuck is up behind?
So yeah, and like I said, this is in more of a urban environment.
Oh no!
So the waiters, they have, it's one of these places we assign defibrillator on site. Well, they're holding it. They don't know what to do with it. So when you go into a restaurant or a gym and you see that sign, don't feel comforted because somebody still has to know how to use it.
There's just people walking around. Actually, we have audio from one of the people that was that were at the scene after seeing this person in the snow angel position.
That motherfucker is bedazzled. He is bedazzled, yo.
They didn't even know the gender. That's how disconnected they were. So they don't know how to work the defibrillator. They don't know anything.
Yeah, so we just jump in there right away. We start doing our thing. We cut the oxygen. We cut up the, you know, we had to cut this woman's shirt off in public and hook up the pads for the defibrillator. And we actually get it, the defibrillator will tell you whether or not you need to shock them. We shocked them. I mean, that was a good thing because it means that you still have a chance of saving this person. So we give a shock. We end up doing CPR for 30 minutes.
Jesus.
Because our ambulance rig and the paramedics that are supposed to show up were like tied up in the exact same thing on the other side of town, which happened to be the wealthier side of town. It was amazing how they got it first.
Uh-huh.
and then another one broke down. Well, the short version of the story is we end up doing CPR and ambulance all the way there. 30 minutes of CPR is a lot of CPR.
Yeah.
You're lucky you use, you know, 5-10 minutes max.
You end up breaking the ribs after a while.
Yeah, we broke all the ribs on the xiphoid processors, what they call it, where you want to put your hands. Broke all the ribs. You could feel them cracking. And the new guy I got going is like, his eyes are like dinner plates. You know, he's never seen anything like this before in his life. We finally get her to the hospital. We ride all the way there to the crash unit in the hospital. They get a pulse back. They get her back alive. But I'm skipping over I'm glossing over the really dirty parts. As we're doing CPR, she's aspirating blood and several of her appetizers up into the mask. And because you're forcing pressure down over the mask, it creates like, you know, a lot of pressure and it starts squirting out the sides.
Jesus.
You there, Jerm?
Frank, excuse me? Are you listening? Or are you?
I'm
mesmerized.
I can't imagine that you go through these experiences. I'm just, my head is spinning.
Well, think about, like, you know, when someone's having a heart attack, they have this frothy, bloody, like pink bloody type mucus that comes up out of their, I guess, out of their lungs.
Like fucking vodka sauce just coming out of their lungs.
And I, and I don't want to give away the restaurant, but let's just say that the appetizer she ate was something that's not good for you, deep fried, and something that's not else that's not good for you.
Oh, so any restaurant in Irvington.
Now, did you think about eating the appetizer after it came up?
Did I? No, I don't think I'll actually ever go to this place again.
Let me ask you a question, officer. Officer, if I could ask you a question, is there ever a time where, if I asked you this before, I apologize, but you ever have to do CPR on somebody that you really didn't want to do it on because you skeeved them out?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. When you go into like the nursing homes, like if you ever have one of these in the area where you live, it's like the they call it assisted living,
right?
Which is, you know, it's just people lining up waiting to die.
Yep.
And you know, like you do CPR and he's like it's just awful to see the horrible state that your body, like live people who are decomposing in front of your eyes. And you're giving them CPR, and as you're squeezing, sometimes like the air will go not into the lungs, but it'll distend the belly. And when that happens, sometimes the gases build up, and you can hear them just shitting in their diapers.
<Let's> see,
like a fucking New Year's party favor.
Yeah, pretty much. So,
now, do you wear like lip guards? Do you put lip guards around the mouth?
Holy yeah, no, we don't breathe into their mouth, by the way. It's like a little balloon. It's like a mask that's filled with oxygen. You squeeze it, but you're holding it over the top of their mouth. And like I was saying with this woman at this restaurant, when she vomited back into it, there was so much pressure from me squeezing air into the mouth that when it came back up, it just squirted out the sides. Like, you know, like in like a thick, ugh. Just far,
did
all
you
over
laugh
the
at
front
her?
Of my pants.
Did you laugh at her? What the fuck is wrong with you, Frank? Would you laugh if that happened to you, Frank?
I'm just trying to lighten the mood.
I understand. It is a little bit heavy here. We go from killing yourself, elongated necks from hanging, heartbroken wives, wedding videos. God, how awful they are. And now throwing up fried mac and cheese or whatever the fuck it is. Jesus.
Yeah, actually, I wish I was able to get in on that whole suicide. I guess I kind of weighed in pretty good on the end because I've had a lot of experience. And let me just tag the suicide story with one I think is always going to be my favorite.
Okay.
We used to have this woman who would call us all the time. And the first thing she would do, she was one of these women. Her husband left her, but he still kind of felt responsible for her. So she would take a bunch of pills, drink a bunch of alcohol, call him up and say, I'm going to kill myself if you don't come back. He would then call us, we'd go over there, pump her stomach, you know, take her to the hospital, and then he'd have to end up taking care of her for 2 weeks. She got exactly what she wanted. This probably happened 3 or 4 times that I was aware of.
And then one time she picks the fucking police Christmas party, and nobody responds.
One day, I guess, while he was fishing, he dropped his phone in the water, and he didn't have the good insurance plan. So 4 days later, when he activated his phone, he got the message. We went over there. She had been there for about 3.5 days.
Eesh.
And
he fucking threw that thing in there, man. He threw that shit in there.
And well, he was really upset. But, you know, she was in the house now for 4 days. She had done the pills. She had done the vodka. And she had a dog. Now, I don't know how much Frank, you have a dog?
Yes, I have 2 dogs.
He has 2 dogs, and he's contributed to the death of 1 Dalmatian.
Ooh. There's no evidence
of that. Do you think your dogs love you?
Oh, they adore me. They think I'm the master.
Do you think that they would, if you waited 1 day to feed them and then you died, do you think that they wouldn't chew your toes off?
That's only happens in the movies.
That's not true, Frank.
Oh, we have a question here from our buddy Rob Giggs. He wants to know that, is it true that bodies blow up with gas and they pop if you throw a shoe at it really hard?
Yeah, actually, I've never seen that before. But I was talking to one of these creepy, like, you have 2 groups of people that'll come get the bodies. You have the coroner or the medical examiner, who's who you want. They're the professionals. And then you have this creepy service that kind of works through the medical examiners that are just a bunch of creeps. And this one guy was telling me that everyone, you know, because I asked him, I was curious, that especially if these old women that'll leave their heat on in the summertime, and then die with the windows closed, you go in there and you'll see the bodies are just full of gases and it's ready to go. And when they have to pick those bodies up, they have to wrap them in this big, thick, tarp-like towel.
Yeah.
And put towels around their wrist, because if they go to grab the arms, the skin will just slip right off like a chicken that was cooked in a crock pot.
Yeah, but you know that. Like, they don't pick them all up. Like, every now and then the guy comes over, just puts a fucking orange X on her and just leaves.
Yeah, those guys are really creepy, but they've seen
officer,
it all. Yeah,
officer, getting back to the dog situation, was there a point with the dogs?
The point was that this young lady that was there for 3.5 days, her dog was eating her toes as they dangled off the bed.
Wow.
Your dog licking the toes.
Marvin! Marvin! Yeah. Sophie!
Why would the dog do that?
He was hungry. He was there for 4 days. I guess he was eating her toes.
That bitch, she hasn't put out a can of Mighty Dog in 4 days. Fuck that bitch. Every day is another toe.
Now, what happened to the dog?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What happened to the dog?
You know, I'm not sure. I think a family member probably took him. I don't know the answer
actually,
to that.
They took the dog into police custody and trained it, and it is now a special agent a la Hooch. Yes. Well,
yeah, so that's, I thought you'd appreciate that.
I love those stories. I could listen to them all friggin' day. They're amazing.
Thank you very much, Officer Jerk. Germ Freak is enamored with firemen, police, and astronauts. He's seven years old.
Correctional officers too.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard the story about you getting a ticket up there. Was that New York?
He was such a dick to that cop. You have no
idea.
I was not a dick.
I was not nasty at all.
He called him Mister. He didn't even call him officer. He called him Mister. Hey, Mister, you gonna come up with that piece of paper?
Oh, please. But let me ask you a question, officer.
My wife's waiting for me, Mister.
How do I determine how many points that transfers to in Jersey? Who do I call? DMV?
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't. By the time they actually catch up to you, they're never assessed. It's getting points out of state's very, very strange with the way that, you know, New Jersey DMV is not exactly the most sped up organization.
You ain't got enough points! You go ahead and come back tomorrow.
But I'd wait till your insurance company goes to up your insurance to even worry about it. But yeah,
Frank,
go ahead.
Thanks for turning the show into your own fucking platform to solve your life problems. if you want to send an email to Frank, Officer Jerk, it's germfreakfrank@gmail.com. Also, he wants pictures of your biggest duties. Anybody out there, send it to germfreakfrank@gmail.
I do not.
Okay. Well, Officer Jerk, always welcome. Thank you very much for calling the show.
Thank you, sir.
Always a pleasure. Take care, guys.
Thank you, sir. We're going to take a quick break. It's the DJ News Style Show on Heroes Talk. That's heroestalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
The DJ News Style Show will be back after something.
Huh? Oh, what's good? You're listening to The Chill Spot for Hotties. I'm your host, Alex Webbs. You might have been wondering where I've been at. I haven't been doing the show, and in case you haven't seen the thread I posted on the forum requesting, like, well wishes and stuff, you know, then you probably don't know that I've been visiting in Israel. It was a great place with great people and great women. But, trip was awesome. You know what I mean? I met a girl there. She's really cool. And I spent my entire 6-day budget of $213 on fishbowl margaritas. And, you could pretty much say we're in love, you know? Let's just say that Alex Webbs is no longer a virgin. But anyway, enough of all this panty dropper talk. Let's take a quick call. You're on the Chill Spot for Hotties.
Revolution, man!
Oh, yeah, it's my buddy Josh. What up, Josh? Tell us about the trip.
What?
Why don't you tell us about the resort?
Revolution, man! Fight the power!
Alright, man. Take care. Next caller. Oh, look, it's my baby girl. What's good, Ma? You're on the chill spot for hotties. I'm Alex Webbs. Ashley.
Hello?
Yeah, what's good?
Who is this?
It's your boy, Alex Webbs.
I don't remember you. Where do you know me from?
It's Alex, you know. Smiles. Like I smile a lot, you know? You know what I mean?
Oh, you're the guy who won't stop tagging all of my Facebook pictures that feature you in the background?
Yeah, that's it, baby. So when are we gonna kick it next, you know?
Never.
Well, that's all the time we got for the chill spot, for hotties. You know, it's just all hotties all over this show tonight. We got Russian techno and, like, you know, hotties. So, like, you know what I'm saying? All right, I'm gonna go to the gym, so I'll see you next time. Later. All right, cut it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best. Best in show.
Best in show.
Best in show.
I'm a boy with dolls. I'm an adult boy with dolls that doesn't want to throw them out.
Keith, do you collect the dolls too?
I collected Star Wars, action figurines, and Smurfs.
Smurfs are a regular thing for dudes.
Yeah, I was 8 years old.
You didn't get Smurfs? You didn't have Smurfs when you were a kid?
No. Yeah, and I had strawberry shortcake too as a kid.
No.
No, Smurfs is like strawberry shortcake.
No, the Smurfs were sold, and they were in the same rack at the L.H. Martin by my house as the Transformer figures.
Speaking of racks, how about Smurfette?
Oh my God. I don't think there's anything remotely fruity about Smurfs. You didn't play Smurfs, did you?
I used to build them little cardboard.
Oh man, you faggot. Oh man.
Wow. I used to cut out like a shoebox, and I would build like what's his name? He was the guy, the sleepy guy.
Suicide Smurf.
Sleepy Smurf. I built him like a little like room, like, you know, like a little cardboard shoebox like bedroom, because he needed a place to sleep.
Keith has definitely Smurfed the Smurf in like his past, haven't you?
I'm waiting to hear. Okay. Did you Smurf a Smurf?
A couple times.
Absa-Smurfly!
Best in Show is live every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on HeroesTalk.com and in the Heroes Talk Radio chat room on Pal Talk. Best in Show is proud to be a part of the Heroes Talk Radio Network.
We're on break. Stop crying your little fucking eyes out, you little bitches. The DJ New Style Show will be right back.
All right, let me bring Lily in here. 866 Ron Zero Fez. Lily, has been, I guess you've been teasing around right now. You're out on the market, and different young radio hosts are hitting on you, so to speak.
Yes. Two of them are bidding on me.
I did get an email from the beautiful Barb who says, Germ Freak would like to stay, even if you become DJ Newstyle's partner.
I don't want to break up that relationship.
Yeah, I think that's wrong, too, because the Germ Freak's got nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
He really doesn't.
I don't want to break up that happy home.
Somebody wants to talk to you here, person whose job you tried to take, the Germ Freak.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Germ Freak.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Lily, I'm just glad that you came to your senses, not wanting to break up the Radio Bronze winners of the Night of 100 podcasts.
Well, you guys are still a team.
I'm trying to think of other people, and I don't want to ruin that relationship. So,
you've turned down New Style and Germ Freak? You think you want to try with somebody else?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Great. So, no. Lily, you know, you could always go back to the greeting customers at your father's restaurant.
Whoa!
Yeah! Wow, Germ Freak. I said I liked you, but now, I don't know.
Radio war with the radio whore. This is very unexpected.
All right.
All right, Germ Freak.
Wow. Take care.
Bye-bye.
He suddenly got strong.
Wow.
For the first time in my life, I was going to say, Germ Freak, what do you bench? I had no idea. He was so fucking ready.
DJ New Style Show. Welcome to the DJ New Style Show. Bitches.
Bitches. Bitches and hoes alike, welcome back to the DJ New Style Show.
exclusive Tuesday night programming on Heroes Talk. That's heroestalk.com. The thing you do with your ears. And yes, the place to be. Germ, I hope you enjoyed the break. That was a ballsy move you pulled on that call.
Well, you know what?
You were threatened.
I do what I can.
You were threatened. Your spot was in jeopardy.
And I don't take it lying down either.
You almost did. You almost did.
Almost.
Way to attack a young woman. Really. No. That's the way that a man asserts his position. Attacking a young woman who's just merely proposing an idea. You come out like a cornered fucking raccoon, scratching for the eyes. Right away. Claws to the eyes. You fucking varmint. I called you rude freak. That's what you are. You're rude freak.
Now, I don't want
to
play.
You used to be germ fraud. Now you're rude freak.
I've been called Google freak. Oh, for Christ's sake.
I'm sorry. I didn't, you know what? I can't help but be sexy sometimes. It just happens to me.
Friggin' animal.
Part of my genetic makeup. I apologize. You know, blame my parents. Blame my parents, Frank. God. So what are you doing here? What are you doing?
Well, I'm not doing much.
You're not doing not a whole do- lot? I mean, he not mentioned do- a TV show, very popular, The Wire. Of course, you didn't know what it was. And I said,
yeah, I don't know what that stuff is.
Because it's not real, Frank.
I don't deal with fiction.
Why not?
Because you don't learn from fiction. You only learn from nonfiction. I've never read a book that's fiction in my life. I only read nonfiction.
Have you read any books? What was the last book you've read? I don't claim to be a reader myself. But I'm not going to go and say, well, you don't learn from nonfiction, so I'll never read.
I read the Motley Crue biography, whatever the hell the name of that thing. But that was written by Nikki Sixx or whatever.
Of course you did, because they had long hair, and everybody's father thought they were women and gay. So that's why you loved them.
The problem is, you know, listen.
All your rock heroes were mistaken as either fags or women. By people of the previous generation.
If I'm going to waste my time reading something...
You really listen to those faggots? Look at them. They got makeup on. They're faggots. Go ahead. Continue. You don't... I know
you
don't... Yeah, I'm done, Frank. I'm sorry.
The same thing with movies. It's hard for me to watch a movie because I can't get past the fact... That it's pretend. It's a fairy tale. It's imaginary. You're not really watching real people doing this. It's a bunch of nonsense. There's people with mics, boom mics, and cameras, and grips, and this
so
and that.
It's not that you don't think you're going to learn anything. You're distracted by the fact that this is a production.
Right. I can't get past the fact that there's people like 3 feet from the actors.
Guess what, Frank? That really wasn't Henry Hill in Goodfellas. It really wasn't.
It was based on a true story, and those are
and there were
different
boom mics in that movie. I don't understand how you can suspend your disbelief that it's not Joe Pesci or it's not.
May I finish?
Continue. Go ahead.
Because it was based on a true story. If the movie's based on a true story, then it's okay.
That's the only way.
Yes.
It's madness. It's absolutely stupid. Oh, God, what if you weren't... I'm sorry, again.
Christ
again, what can I do? Do you want me to ugly myself up?
Fucking animal.
Fuck you. Would you be able to act in a work of fiction? For example, if we wrote some kind of a skit. I mean, I have a camera now, a pretty decent camera. We wanted to do some video stuff, correct?
If we
did something that wasn't reality-based, would you be able to be a part of it? Like, could you be,
I would
could
do my
you
best.
Become a character?
I could become a character.
More of a character than what you are now. More of a living, real, actual character. I mean, somebody else with a name who maybe even isn't Italian. Why typecast yourself? You really could? You wouldn't have any hang-ups about being in something that isn't real?
No, because, you know...
You're going to be a Puerto Rican astronaut who drives a fucking car that looks like a spaceship. And he never goes into space, but he just keeps telling people that he will kick their balls into outer space. That's what you could be able to do that. You'd pull that off.
If I could, it's just watching it. But if I'm in it, then it's a different story. I'm not saying I'm normal. I'm just saying it's the way I feel.
I apologize. Well, I really do.
Glad you admit that.
What would you be more embarrassed to be caught listening to?
whether you're driving, singing to yourself. Do you drum on the wheel while you drive? Do you sing in the car?
Occasionally.
Pass the time. Stay alert, right? You sing, you drum, you do whatever. You never play air guitar or air ukulele. That's a little gay.
That's true.
Air instruments are gay. You need to make contact if you're going to pretend play the drums. You have to. But
right.
Who would you rather be more embarrassed getting caught listening to? George Michael, Michael Jackson, or Boy George?
Okay. Let me think about this. Now, the thing with Michael Jackson, it was okay to listen to Michael Jackson pre-1982. Is that correct?
I guess it was. I mean, I was 2 years old, so I don't think I was of a mind to be as discerning over whether it was okay to listen to a guy who, you know, was beloved.
Well, the thing is, it's like if it's like Michael Jackson was still normal pre-82, so when you listen to something from Off the Wall, it's not as bad as listening to something from Bad. You know what I'm saying?
Your blood is mine.
Shimone.
I'm a dude. Shimone. Oh, fucking hell.
Shimone.
316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's Mike. What's going on?
Hey, Mike. Mike from Queens. How are you? You got any shout-outs?
I'm from Queens. Yeah, I really am. I don't know. I was just compelled by forces unknown to call the show, and I figured I'd do it.
Well, you sound very familiar, but what do you got for us, Mike?
I figured I would talk about whatever you're talking about tonight. You guys got anything going on?
Yeah. Well, we have some issues here that I have that I'm struggling with.
Are you talking about something along the lines? Something along the lines of a little bit of a homosexuality issue?
That is correct.
Ladies and gentlemen, Germ Freak Radio presents...
Is It Gay? Oh, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that part of the show where Germ Freak forgets how to be a heterosexual and has a list of things that he might want to do, might want to be a part of, and might be gay. Now, Frank, what is the first item on your list? And we will discuss it with Mike from Queens.
Is it gay to hold a door open for another man?
My first.
Yeah, Mike, yes. Why don't you go? I've got a little bit of an issue with it, but go ahead, Mike.
I have no issue with it. I think, if you're sitting there holding doors open for men, holding a door open for whoever's behind you, it's just common courtesy. I don't even mean to say that everyone should do it, but there's nothing gay about it if you do it, I think.
Yeah, I think it could be a little gay, though. Okay. sometimes it, my thing of it is, if you hold it for somebody, it's almost like you're trying to make that person gay. It's like you're saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, go in. I'm the man. Go in. I'm the guy. I'm the straight one. You're the faggot who needs a door held open. Go in.
I have held doors open for men and given them that condescending look, like that you owe me look.
But, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I'm not coming from a gay place, but I can see where you're coming from. But I don't think it's... I just hold doors open for people. I think it's common courtesy. I feel like, you know, whatever goes around comes around, and that has yet to prove itself in my life, but I'm going to keep sticking with it, and maybe one day someone will hold the door open for me.
Now, if somebody holds a door open for you, Mike, do you thank that person?
Absolutely, of course.
I think you should.
What if you're going into like a mall where there's two doors? First you go through one door, then there's like a little lobby, then another door. Do you think both times they open it for you?
Yeah,
they
you open should. It you should. And you know what's the worst? If there's double doors outside and you hold one open and then they go for the other one, like my door's not fucking good enough. You have to open your own door. Eat shit, bitch. Eat shit. Have fun getting to the mall.
It's the opposite door theory. Yes. I thought you were going for the hold the first door open. They'll let the second one shut on their face.
No, there are two doors to get into this building. I've held one open.
Right.
They go for the other one to open it themselves. They think that I'm trying to make them gay.
That's like they felt comfortable opening one door for you, but if they did it again, it would just be really awkward for them. So they're just going to find their own new route and just avoid eye contact and pretend they never even spoke to you in the first or held a door open.
They basically broke up with our completely non-gay, non-relationship. That's them ending this relationship.
And they made it gay. By doing that, they made it completely gay because everything is awkward and it's their fault.
Yeah, it's like I can't even go over it and see their parents anymore. And, you know, I've developed a friendship.
I think at that point we're asking, is it homophobic? Because really, we're talking about opening doors for people who are behind you when you're entering a mall. There's nothing gay about it.
Well, Mean Gene here says, is it gay to hold the door open with your foot? What do you think about that? Now, Frank, you don't, if you hold the door open, how do you hold it open?
Is the foot hanging out of a car window?
With my foot. I wedge my foot in there.
You put your foot there because your foot is already contaminated. You don't want to waste Purell to hold the door open.
Not that. It's that people usually open the door by the handle, whereas I open it with my foot. So there's going to be less germs on the bottom of the door than there is at the handle of the door.
What do you think about that, Mike from Queens?
Honestly, I like to. I don't want my hand. I just spinning sidekick the door if I see somebody behind me. So that way, I've got a good 4 second gap. Anyone who might be following me into the mall, I don't even need to worry about it. I just kick it with all my might, and I don't even have to worry about germs or courtesy or fear of being accused of being a homosexual.
Yeah, exactly.
I just kick the door with all my might and just enter behind me. No pun intended.
Yeah, if I'm not into being friendly, hey, I'll just throw that door open as far as I can and hope that it's got that little slow down or little fucking thing, the little door delay.
Yeah, that fucking air pump that some of those doors have. Like, these doors have built-in hydraulics.
Yes. So it doesn't just slam on somebody. Now, if somebody doesn't hold the door open for you and it slams in your face, do you fucking grab that door and throw it open and try to let them know that it fucking almost hit you?
Like, you slam it backwards and you go, BOOM!
Or as it comes towards you, you just really hit it hard to make it sound like it hit your head, and you look at them when they turn around?
I usually make an issue of it, but I always want to. Someone doesn't hold the door and I'm right behind them, I want to make... I never do. Usually I just be like, thanks, man. And that's it. And really, they don't understand sarcasm. They don't even know who I am, so they don't care. Yeah. They don't even understand that was my feeble attempt of trying to get back at them.
Yeah. What's next, Frank? Any door stuff here?
All right. Is it gay to ask another man to sing a little bit of a song that he's trying to tell you about because you can't recall which one it is?
So he has a song in his mind, and the only way he can convey what the song is by singing. He's like, hey, Frank, you know that song? Must have been love.
Yeah. You know that song? Shantae. Yeah.
Word.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Mike from Queens. You know that one song? Cover Girl. Work It Girl. In the world.
Do your thing.
I think that's a little big. It depends on the song. It could be Metallica and it's still fucking gay. You're singing to another dude instead of just forgetting your fucking meaningless point.
But you know what it is? I don't think it's a thing. I think it's the way that people try. Like, when they're like, oh, I don't know the song. Sing a part of it for me. So, like, even if it was Metallica, let's say, or let's say it was, like, Rammstein, and they're like, they'll be like, Haas.
Oh,
Mike,
we have feedback from FM Jeff. He says, it don't matter what you wear, because everybody's going to stare. It don't matter what you do, because everything looks good on you.
I don't know quite where he's going with it.
I think it does. I have the MP3 somewhere. Maybe it's on an iPod. RuPaul. I don't know. Is it gay?
Mike, do you sing in the car, Mike?
Huh?
Do you sing in the car to the radio?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Now, if you catch somebody, if somebody catches you singing, do you stop singing or do you continue?
Usually, if they're looking at me long enough, I'll smile at them. Maybe sometimes wave, and usually they'll either laugh and move on or just continue staring and then move on. They leave me alone quickly. I acknowledge them. Like, if someone is staring at me being a weirdo in my car, I'll look at them and I'll go, hey. Some people respond positively.
Yeah,
actually,
I do it, if I pull up to a light and I'm singing and I can tell someone's looking at me, I'll look right at them and I'll lock eyes with them and then I'll just point down to my crotch like this.
Yeah.
Just point right down. And then I'll keep singing, must have been love, but it's over now. Lay a whisper. Frank, is that gay? Let me ask you, is that gay?
Very gay.
Okay.
You think very gay? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think it's gay. I also think people who, honestly, it's the people who stare at people who do that. Like, there's something about being in a car. Like, it gives you a set of balls. You would do something in a car. no matter who can look at you that's driving on a highway next to you that you would never do in person in front of anyone else. And everyone driving understands that. So if you're a person looking at someone being free in a car and you're trying to make them feel stupid, as far as I go, it doesn't work. You can't make me feel stupid for singing in my car. It doesn't matter what the song is. I'm in my car, I'm singing. You're in your car and you're staring at me.
All right. Well, now
we should be ashamed.
Now let's why don't we look at it this way, Frank? What do you have next that falls in the category of
ladies and gentlemen?
No,
Germ Freak
not
Radio
the intro.
Presents.
Is it gay? What else is on your list of would be gayness?
Is it gay for a guy to write to a male celebrity asking for an autograph?
I think it kind of depends on the... Does it even depend on the celebrity? What's your thinking about this, Germ Freak? What do you think about this? What's your reservation here?
First of all, why do you need to ask for somebody's autograph? What are you going to do with it, number one?
Exactly.
Number two, it depends if it's a political historical figure, maybe not.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you, and I'm going to say this, okay, Frank? Baseball card and less than 15. If you're less than 15 and you're trying to get a baseball card signed, completely not gay. However, anything else, completely gay. Completely gay. Mike from Queens, what do you think?
Writing a letter to a celebrity asking for an autograph, I mean...
I'm sorry to cut it. DH215 says, "Dear Lou Diamond Phillips."
Yeah. Dear Patrick Swayze. I know it's been a long time. I don't know. I guess that... It's definitely faggot.
Yeah, and on your letter to Patrick Swayze, you write baby in the corner of the letter and say, "Hey, has anybody put baby in the corner of a letter to you before? You faggot! How's cancer?" Oh, it's terrible.
All right.
God, I didn't mean to go there. Hateful. Hateful. But seriously, Mike from Queens, continue. Gay?
It's a little bit queer to write someone for an autograph. It's a little bit queer.
Tally says, "Dear Patrick Swayze, please respond soon."
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
It's awful.
Frank, what's next?
Is it gay for a guy to mail another guy a birthday card?
Absolutely gay. I think it's almost it's borderline gay to wish a guy happy birthday. Borderline gay.
Wait a second. Retract that. You're saying you feel a little queer wishing another guy a happy birthday?
It's borderline gay. It's approaching gay. It's friendly. But you're getting there. I mean, you have to know the person.
Let me ask you why.
It's like a proposition of oral sex.
How is it proposition of oral sex, Mike?
The day before my birthday, which is June 8th, you wish me a happy birthday.
I know you're a friend of mine. I'm just saying, if at the office, some guy that works in fucking logistics is wearing a fucking "it's my birthday" pin and is getting cards from everybody and not from you, and you say, "Oh, hey, happy birthday, man." It's gay.
Right.
Gay.
Oh, look, it's somebody shares my birthday.
That would be Shell in the Pal Talk room. Heroes Talk Radio. You always go to Pal Talk Tuesday nights, Sunday mornings, and now Thursdays. Heroes Talk Radio.
Okay.
Shout out to all my Pal Talk heads.
Word.
All you guys from there in Pal Talk. All
right, Mike from Queens.
Fucking faggot.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
Okay. I just want to make my point, New Style. I think the night before my birthday, you wished me a happy birthday. But then it was the day of my birthday. You said to me, "I already wished you a happy birthday once. I'm not going to do it again." Because I think you felt a little gay.
It is a little gay. I think I just said that. I didn't want to have to extend a wish of a nice day to another guy.
Right, right.
But however, when it's your birthday, you want people to do it. You feel upset. You feel pissed when people don't do it.
But this is us.
You did, right?
But this is us, though. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean, us?
By
the way, is it gay to refer to a group of male friends as us?
Anyway.
Next. What's next on your list?
Yeah.
Is it gay for a guy to utilize one of those little circular band-aids, the little round ones?
Oh, like for his neck, like when you're shaving, you nick yourself.
Yes.
Or you pop a zit and you have to pretend that you fucking cut yourself shaving, even though it's at your eyebrow.
Yeah, I don't know if it's gay, but really, are you shaving with machetes? Like, how bad have you injured yourself shaving?
Well, it doesn't have to be necessarily from shaving. It could be from anything. You know,
a little. What would that fucking little pencil eraser sized pad absorb? What would that take care of? Anything? I mean, what have you ever used it for? You know what? The worst Band-Aid, the least valuable Band-Aid were the Band-Aid stitches. Those little really, really skinny ones that just had stickiness and a thin bridge between them. Do you remember those fucking Band-Aid stitches? They were the fucking worst.
It was like a cock seen through a kaleidoscope, actually, if you're talking about gay. It was like the center of a cock just expanded outward in both directions. It's just two sets of balls with a shaft in the middle. Those Band-Aids are really the definition of gay.
I always, whenever I had a cut, I always wanted to use the biggest Band-Aid ever. I wanted to use, like, fucking Ace bandages and shit, because it was cool. Like, you always wanted a cast when you were a kid.
Like a full body cast, right, around the neck.
Yeah. You wanted people to fucking sign something. I remember a kid in second grade got people to sign his Band-Aid. Because he was like one of the kids. Like, there was a kid that had a cast, and everybody was fucking signing that. And this kid shows up with a fucking skinned knee, and now he has the big Band-Aid on his knee, and people are signing it.
How many times has that kid gotten his stomach pumped to date, do you think?
I don't know. But he can no longer sit on stools.
A faggot. You know, real quick, actually, speaking of faggots, bringing in faggot shit to show and tell, there was a kid, when I was in kindergarten, he brought his black eye to show and tell. How fucking gay is that?
Today?
What a queer.
Well, what do you have for show and tell? Lack of manhood.
You know what it is?
Inability to stand up for myself.
I don't know if you sense this so far, but there's a little bit of resentment on my part when it comes to this black eye. I'll explain. I gave him the black eye. He was like a class bully, and I didn't fight with him or anything. But he tried to, we were playing follow the leader in kindergarten, and I was the leader. And he tried to push me out of the way, and I pushed his face into the fence with the spike on the top.
Mike, how many years ago was this?
I will never forget it. I was 4 years... It wasn't even legitimate kindergarten. It was like a day camp / kindergarten. I managed to skip kindergarten by going to this thing. It was like, I guess, like pre-K technically. And I blacked his eye. I'll never forget it. I was proud the rest of the day. And the next day he came in with his black eye and a show and tell and tried to make me look like a fucking asshole. And I had to apologize in front of the whole class for pushing his face into the fence.
Jesus, that's a vivid memory. Like, Frank, do you have anything that vivid from your, like, what's the furthest memory you can remember, Frank?
I remember when I was probably pre-kindergarten when my aunt bought me a hickory dickory clock, and my mother had me in her arms, and I remember it playing and me falling asleep to it.
I just remembered as a kid that that I used the word cocky for shit. That was the word that my parents wanted me to say whenever I had to
shit. I did. We had that too. Same thing at
cocky,
my house.
Cocky, and then I guess they realized, hey, you know, our friends are getting a little uneasy when a kid runs in and starts talking about cocky. And they changed it to caca.
My mother, you know, what my mother would call snot. She'd call it Mickey Mouse.
Why?
Aww.
Why?
I don't know.
Did you carry any of these over with your kids?
Well, I call my daughter's vagina Chachi.
Oh my god.
Wow.
You called it
I think that's the greatest achievement of Scott Baio's career.
The funny thing is I call my girlfriend's vagina Charles.
No. Referring to private parts, I don't really call them vagina. I still feel
hey, Charles!
Instant vagina! Just add hair and slickness and depth.
Charles!
G Charles! I'm the worst character in TV history ever, Charles.
Okay.
Holy shit. Oh my God. We have something to plug, I believe. Are you aware of this, Frank?
I am not.
You are not you're not aware of this. We've only been talking about this August 31st. You don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I know. We'll talk about it.
I want you to talk about it.
I'm not talking about you.
Well, it turns out that your coworker's barbecue, you know, the one you go to every Labor Day, it's going to suck anyway. It's absolutely terrible. It's fucking boring. So HeroesTalk.com presents a Labor Day concert event Sunday, August 31st, 11 a.m., 72 Hannah Street, Staten Island. Best in Show Radio live. And then after that, after the radio broadcast, the Church of Man Love will perform. Tryptophan will perform. The Humans, Terrible Tim, and yours truly, DJ New Style and Germ Freak. We will be performing at the Ron Hill party that has to be named something because Ron Hill always names his parties in his backyard. So go to bestinshowradio.com, djnewstyleshow.com, and heroestalk.com. The details are in the forums. And you'll find out, and you'll go there, and you'll have a goddamn blast. Frank, are you excited?
Yeah, I can't sleep.
I'm going to put you on the stage, and you're going to perform.
You will perform.
Okay.
I wasn't aware of that.
You absolutely will.
Okay.
You understand that?
And Frank, I'll be there. I'll be there to hold your hand, Frank.
Oh, Mike, Mike's there. I'll have no problem.
Well, you got it. He's going to hold your hand.
I'm going to be there. I'll hold your hand, but I won't open a single fucking door for you or anybody for that matter.
Oh, and I wanted to bring up one quick thing. We have a new listener here. His name is The Jives. He's from ronfez.net. He sent a very, very nice email. Now, I say it's a nice email, and you'll see why. I'm just going to read it to you. He's a pretty decent guy. He says, "Hi, New Style. I heard your show on XM, and I've been downloading all the podcasts ever since. Thanks for taking the time to do the show each week. It makes my commute bearable. You and Frank are hilarious. The chemistry is great. Also, I have an office job, but in college, I worked at Starbucks. I wanted to say something about Frank's stupid venti breve latte 4 equals extra hot. I can unqualifiedly say that it is one of the bitchiest drinks out there. While you drink respectable coffee beverages like the Americano or black coffee, Frank is essentially ordering an expensive and time-consuming version of a Dunkin' Donuts light and sweet coffee. It's ridiculous, and I guarantee you it pisses off the barrister making it for him. I could walk you through all the stupid, pointless steps that drink adds for the person, but suffice to say, it's extremely likely that baristas have been taking frustration out on Frank by giving him decaf or doing something to the drink. I've seen it done to people like that." Now, you know Christy.com has confirmed this. This is a second person. The Jive says, "Thanks again for doing the show." Thank you very much, The Jives. He did find a way to send the email. It was a little creepy, but it smelled delicious, I have to admit. What's your response to that?
I know the people at Starbucks, they treat me well. I'm very kind to the barristers there, and everything's all good. I have no fun.
Don't turn around. Whoa! The barristers in town. Uh-oh! God damn it. It's barista. Can't you get that through your fucking head? Well, I don't know. Why don't we go to the next thing here that we have on the list that is... Ah, what's that? I don't understand.
Oh my God, they sound German.
Thank you very much for checking out the DJ New Style Show. HearUsTalk.com. Check out Best in Show Radio Sunday mornings and soon to be on Thursday nights. That's BestinShowRadio.com. They're amazing. They're awesome. Also, August 31st, check the Heroes Talk forums. Frank, do you have anything you want to say?
But this is us!
Thank you, everybody. Thanks to Foundry Music Jeff, Christine Sneakers, Mike and Queens, Officer Jerk, and a girl. See ya!
night, ladies and gentlemen.
Go suck banana, fuck you.